From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 20th day of January 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of Adium Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, a federal court has ruled in favor of Monsanto over a license agreement dispute with Pioneer Seeds' parent company, DuPont. And the U.S. and Russia are still playing chicken with chicken, and fertilizer retailers say the price of most product has remained strong during the first month of the new year. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories, and then I'll tell you why farmers should take an even narrower view of soybeans going into the 2010 growing season. And don't forget that Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, will join us as we close out our half-hour program right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Taking a look now at the numbers in Chicago as they settled on this Wednesday afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit down 3 cents in the nearby March contract at $4.97.5, the May at 5.11.25, down 3. And July wheat futures today settled at 5.23.75, the new crop down 2.75. In Kansas City, March hard red at 5.04.5, down a half on the afternoon. March corn futures today, 3.68, down a penny and a quarter. The May at 3.78.75, down 1.5. July at 3.88.25, down 1.25, and December futures at $4.02.75, down a penny and a quarter for new crop corn futures. March soybean futures at $9.50 this afternoon, 13.5 lower. May at 9.56.75, down 13.5, and July at 9.61, down 14.25. August soybeans at 9.55.5, down 13.25. September at 9.41.5, 9.5 cents lower. Bean meal futures at 286.20, down 4.70. Bean oil at 277.80, down 5.20. March bean oil at 36.57, down 58. Live cattle futures, February contract 45 cents lower at 87.45. January feeders at 97.92.5, down 32.5 on the afternoon. And the February lean hogs at $70.45. finished 30 cents lower. You are, of course, listening to the Closing Market Report from the U of I. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, February contract at $77.62 a barrel, down $1.40 in the nearbys. February ethanol at $1.76.2, down a penny and 9 cents. Natural gas at $5.49.6 on the lead option, down 6 1/10 of a penny. And the RBOB gasoline at $2.04.1, down 1 7/10. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2 a penny and 8 cents, down 2 7/10. And the gold now at $1,112.30, a settlement price there down $27.40 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average currently trading at 10,589, just about 136 points lower. And the U.S. dollar at 78.33 is up just about one full point. The CRB index at 279.48 is down 1.93 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. It calls for freezing rain. An advisory is in effect for northern portions of central Illinois. That until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And for northern Illinois and northwestern Indiana from mid-afternoon today until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Tonight, cloudy and breezy in all sections. In the north and central sections, freezing rain and freezing drizzle. In the south, rain showers. Lows will range from 22 in northeastern Indiana to 44. In the far south, tomorrow, cloudy, windy in all sections. In the north, some freezing rain and freezing drizzle. In central sections, freezing rain early and then rain. In the south, rain showers. Highs will range tomorrow from 31 in the far north to 53. In the deep southern part of Illinois, the extended forecast says mild weather is expected this weekend, with high temperatures well above freezing. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon, time to check the agricultural futures markets and a little bit of analysis with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, I think the most exciting news probably was not what was happening altogether in the marketplace, but what happened in Massachusetts. There's interesting political consequences, I suppose, of that, aren't there?
Yeah, yesterday it was brought to our attention, and we saw a good hard stock market rally, and the new Senator-elect Scott Brown, of course, won handily, and of course, he drives a pickup truck, and he's going to basically be the new senator. And of course, it's going to change the balance of some of the voting out in Washington and in healthcare, cap and trade. And of course, he's very articulate. Handsome young man, and of course, one of the things that caught my attention last night was he mentioned about the getting the economy going again, and of course, tax cuts like John F. Kennedy investment tax credits, and to get the economy going. And of course, a lot of people feel the U.S. economy is moving slow. The other factor, of course, that put the brakes on the stock market and commodity markets overnight was the general report that loans out of China were down 22%. This puts in jeopardy a growth rate of 10 to 12% and puts in jeopardy a big mechanism that basically grabs commodities around the world from soybeans, aluminum, to gold to silver. Put that into jeopardy. And of course, we did see profit taking in the stock market, commodities, crude oil, metals, soybeans, and corn. And of course, the continuation of this worry of a bigger bin buster crop that we put to bed here this last year. So all of it indicated that commodity funds have made big bets. Commodity traders basically followed the money, followed the trend, so to speak, got themselves horribly long, and now we're seeing a price erosion that could last, I think, for quite a while.
I've been reading some news about light test weight corn and just what that really means. It appears that it doesn't have as much of an impact maybe on consumption as least as I thought, but that one of the things that does happen is, of course, it doesn't store nearly as well as corn that would test in a normal range. That means producers will have to move corn. They're probably looking at really good yields at this time and thinking, I haven't sold enough, and now they're faced with a crop that they have to move quickly into the system. Have any good ideas about what they ought to do?
Yeah, the government very carefully put feed usage up pretty good. And, of course, everybody plays this guessing game to the really put the actual low test weights in their formula, and of course the feeling is that it was probably put in on the demand side of the equation with this bigger feed usage than anybody could even believe. And some of it, of course, is the low test weight. That's via Informa Sparks. The big thing here, of course, is that the crop did come in, of course, as you mentioned, wetter than anybody believed, and in the further north you went, the wetter it basically got. And, you know, rule number one is get it to number two as quickly as possible. If you need to put a loan on the corn for better prices, that's one way to play the game, and you have to be very selective. But we are seeing a lot of open piles not covered. We're seeing over half the corn that's coming across the scales, it's 20% moisture levels north. And if you did dry it down, you probably dried it to 18% on a wink and a promise. And as a result of that, this is going to haunt the market for a long time, as well as the continuation of harvest in the next several months as the finishing and wrap up. But I agree with you. I think that it's probably factored in. And if it wasn't, it's only a small percentage of the total bushels.
Yeah, to give credit where credit is due, you told us as we went through December that a big crop meant that we would have a rough start in January and that a big crop meant lower prices. I don't know whether you had an idea at that point that USDA would come out with such a large crop, but it still remains that we have producers that really need to work with what they've got in the bin. Do they have as many troubles with marketing their soybeans at this point, or are they pretty caught up?
I think they're pretty well caught up on the old crop beans, and of course the blessing is that we do have a bin buster crop coming on in South America. The marketplace basically had talked about that, and of course we really thought that the real sell-off would take place in the bean bin and the bean prices and work its way into the corn price level through the back door. But basically what this big crop production report on corn and soybeans is going to be is we don't have to bid up for acres, bid up for planting corn or soybeans like we have in the past. These lower prices haven't stimulated demand either in the export area, feed usage, or ethanol, and we do have this monumental problem of competing against a country in South America that's, busting out all over the place with success. Brazil, they've got high-priced sugar. They've got an ethanol program that's, the envy of the world. And number three is, of course, they're pretty financially strong. So they're going to be a tough competitor and a tough one to beat up with cheap prices or production. So we are going to have to contend with them. It's our worst nightmare that we have a big producer down there that's financially a successful player.
Any other final word from you before I let you go for
have
the afternoon?
A profitable day, and always nice talking to you, Todd.
Good to talk to you, too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear again from Paul, you can do that at about 3:15 Central Time each and every day. We post not only Paul, but whichever analyst we happen to be talking to on a phone line at 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal. The closing market numbers and a bit of analysis each and every day at 217-333-3434.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. Dave Dickey is here now with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Monsanto yesterday said a federal court has ruled in its favor in a dispute with rival DuPont, finding DuPont had violated a licensing agreement in trying to combine certain genetic seed traits developed by Monsanto with its own. DuPont officials say that the court decision was, quote, narrow, allowing them to continue to press antitrust allegations against Monsanto. DuPont spokesperson Doyle Carr says, quote, we're going to move ahead because the case isn't over yet. The leader of Russia's main business lobbying group says that U.S. poultry imports to Russia could be restored if new local rules are observed. On January 1st, Moscow banned imports of poultry meat washed with chlorine, a process widely used in the United States. U.S. poultry imports to Russia were valued at around $800 million in 2008. A Southern California meat packing firm has recalled some 864,000 pounds of ground beef that might be contaminated with E. coli. The Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service says that no illnesses have been reported from the products sold by Montebello-based Huntington Meat Packing Incorporated. The affected beef was sold to distribution centers, restaurants, and hotels in California. Officials say department personnel discovered the problem during a food safety assessment. The first shipment of U.S. bone-in beef that arrived in Taiwan on January 15th has cleared inspection. The 361 pounds of U.S. beef products shipped in six packages will hit Taiwan markets very soon, according to Taiwanese officials. Fertilizer retailers say prices remained strong for the majority of fertilizers in the second week of January. Continuing to lead the way higher were the phosphate fertilizers. DAP and MAP both were 16% higher compared to the second week of December. The two fertilizers with price decreases also continue to be potash and 10340. Potash was 6% lower compared to a month earlier, and 10340 was down just slightly. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, both of which you can find online anytime you'd like in their entirety at willag.org. That's willag.org. While you're there, sign up for our free weekend newsletter. That's over on the right-hand side of the page. Just hit subscribe. If you don't like it, come back and hit unsubscribe. It's that easy to get on and off our list. It's all at willag.org. Now, coming up, you know, farmers considering their management options for the 2010 growing season should really think about even narrower rows for soybeans. I'll have the reasons why. This winter, the University of Illinois soybean specialist has been talking to farmers about planting in narrower rows. Not 30-inch rows, but something a lot tighter. Vince Davis says it's all about capturing and using sunlight.
Narrow rows generally do better than wide rows, and what I mean by narrow is 15-inch rows or less, and what I mean by wide is 30-inch rows or greater. Most growers are 15-inch rows or less in the state of Illinois, and they traditionally do a couple bushel to the acre better than wide rows, but there are exceptions to that based on, again, the interactions of planting date and seeding rate at which develops the canopy to maximize light interception by the time those plants start to flower.
That's an important point. Soybeans flower based on day length. That tells Vince Davis a couple of things. Planting date is important. Earlier better than later because it gives the bean a chance to build a full canopy, and that extending the light capture late in the season doesn't do a whole lot to help build yield. The narrow rows, by the way, mean farmers can plant fewer seeds to the acre, too. That's counterintuitive, but true.
Seeding rates are on a slightly decreasing trend over the last few years, but we're probably still seeding, or most farmers are probably still seeding higher rates than they need to be to maximize yield. And the reason for that is historically soybean seed costs have been low enough that planting more seeds has been a beneficial management decision to maximize yield. But as seeding costs have continued to increase, it's getting to be a lot more important decision at the economic level to match the appropriate seeding rate from the beginning of the season.
Appropriate seeding rates, narrower rows, good seed selection based on disease resistance, and an earlier rather than later planting date when taken together all spell a higher yield. Well, as long as the weather cooperates. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can always do that online at willag.org. It's willag.org. There we post all of our daily agricultural programming in its entirety for you to listen to anytime you'd like. It's at willag.org. On the line with us now to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets and the cash grain market in particular. Around Delphi, Indiana, is Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons facility there. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks for being with us today. Oop, Matt's not quite there yet. Have him on hold. Maybe he'll come back to us in just a moment. We'll see whether he shows up. Matt, of course, joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Wednesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. And when he arrives back to us, he'll give us a shout and let us know that he is there. In the mean space, once again, do visit our website. The address is willag.org. Some of you are probably wondering right at this point when our all-day agricultural outlook is scheduled, and that comes up always in the second week of March, actually the second Tuesday of March. You can put it on your calendar today. I believe that's the ninth day, but I don't quite remember which day. It'll be the second Tuesday of March over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. It's our all-day ag outlook, and we do feed you over there. There's a $20 cost this year, but it is a great program. And hey, Matt Blaisdell, how are you? Matt Blaisdell, I think, probably will be down for that all-day ag outlook and with us, too. And that's in Tuesday, second Tuesday in March. Hi, Matt. How are you today?
Doing well. How are we doing, Todd?
Oh, well, you're probably, you've been busy, I guess, because you had me on hold, kind of like I had you on hold. But so I have a quick question for you. Have you had many discussions? I think you're probably in one of those areas where maybe there was some light test weight corn up there. Is there much discussion about what that means for the ethanol plant and its ability to produce gallons?
Really, and I'm not the the process manager to speak too educatedly about this, but really, what discussions I've been on is it's not much of an issue with us basically grinding the corn anyways, that we haven't really seen any issues with the test weight being down this year.
All right, and it's all about TDM, or total dry matter, and a pound is a pound one way or the other, isn't it?
That's exactly right. A pound's a pound.
Okay, so basis in your area is what?
Right now, bean basis has improved quite a bit here, up a nickel to 15 cents since last week. Corn basis continues to struggle. With this break in the board, though, it does feel like January corn is drying up. The February book isn't quite as big as we once anticipated it was going to be, because we thought the market was going to stay at these values. So corn basis is probably about a week away from surging higher here.
Your bids for the day?
Climber is at 353 for corn. Delphi beans at 938.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye.
Matt Blaisdell is with the Andersons Climbers facility. He's located in Delphi, Indiana. We'll be back in just 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. State police are advising Illinoisans to avoid driving if possible as freezing rain falls over much of central Illinois. Authorities report dozens of accidents in the Champaign, Bloomington, and Galesburg areas. The problem is worst in west central Illinois, where a number of school districts closed for the day. The National Weather Service says a freezing rain warning will continue across the region until tomorrow morning. The University of Illinois says employees who worry that taking 4 mandated furlough days will keep them from doing their jobs should feel free to work those days without pay. The university said today that employees could simply take the same temporary 2% pay cut that applies to the furloughs, but keep working. University spokesperson Robin Kaler says they're offering the option to keep working in response to faculty members who requested it. Vice Chair Tom Corder of the U of I's Council of Academic Professionals says the work option is good for those employees who feel they can't keep up with their workloads and take furlough days at the same time. A Texas company plans to start building a second wind farm in McLean County next year after local officials signed off on the project. The McLean County Board yesterday approved Texas-based Horizon Wind Energy's plans to start building the 400-megawatt Black Prairie Wind Farm north of Illinois Highway 9 east of Bloomington. The company plans to start building in April of next year. It could eventually have more than 200 turbines. Horizon already operates the 240-turbine Twin Groves Wind Farm south of the area. At the Indiana State House, a statewide smoking ban has cleared a House committee. Casinos and horse racing tracks would be exempt from the bill. The Indiana House passed a similar measure last year, but it died after failing in the Senate. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon, and this is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us, Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Drew, weather here this morning was pretty ugly after about 8 o'clock in Champaign County. The rain turned into ice, and it was a skate land out there. Can we expect more of the same?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not going to be a real pleasant afternoon, and going into the night tonight, the only difference that we're going to see is a little bit of a northward drift in this precipitation, and that will possibly clear it out of the central portions of Illinois and shift it more into the Chicago area. So if you're heading back to the big city, you better be careful. It's going to be a kind of a slick afternoon and evening up that way, and it will stay pretty nasty across central portions of the state, too. I don't want to discount that too much and give an all clear before it's really due. We have a low pressure system that will be coming out of the central plains overnight tonight and will locate in Arkansas or neighboring areas of southeastern Missouri and western Kentucky. And that is the event that will actually help to clear out the air. It'll bring in warmer air and help to get the snow and the ice out of the central part of the country, and will produce a moderate amount of rainfall, though, for parts of the Delta, the Tennessee River Basin, even the Ohio River Valley. So we'll end up shifting gears here, quit worrying about some of the ice, and start focusing on the possibility of some localized flooding in the lower parts of the region. But this will be a fairly fast-moving system once it does get around here tonight. But for the next 12 to 24 hours, we'll still have some icy conditions to deal with. It's a lot worse just a little bit to the west in Iowa, and it will probably continue worse in that area for the rest of the day today. There's a little bit of a wintry mix occurring as far to the northwest on the same system as North Dakota and southern parts of Canada. The big storm system we're actually going to be watching now is one that's going to occur this coming weekend, and this is going to be another significant snow event for the northern U.S. plains. We'll look for some snow accumulations of at least 4 to 8 inches and probably some 10 to 14-inch accumulations across some of the Dakotas, Minnesota, parts of Montana. So another nasty storm for them. We will probably get some showers and perhaps a thunderstorm or two across the heart of the Midwest from the same storm system before we get a little bit of snow fall behind it.
Hard on the livestock that are free-ranging out in those areas. Maybe you should turn your attention to South America and talk about the crops there, please.
Yes, we're in a change, a little mode change right now, and Argentina is going to be dry for almost 10 days in a row. There's portions of southern Argentina that are already drying down a little bit. This would be, in particular, portions of Buenos Aires and La Pampa. The rest of the country still has plenty of subsoil moisture around, so a week to 10 days worth of drying isn't going to put that crop at risk of a lower yield or anything. But if we don't get timely rains at the end of the month, then we may be looking at a little bit more stress for February. Right now, the longer-range outlooks are suggesting showers and thunderstorms for Argentina during the last days in this month and continue into early February. Now in Brazil, it's a totally different story. It's raining and raining and raining. It's way too wet in parts of interior southern Brazil, and that's going to continue. The ground is saturated all the way down deep into the ground, so every drop of rain that occurs is going to be runoff. Rivers and streams are going to end up running pretty high. We'll end up with a significant flood event probably in parts of the region. Anywhere from 4 to 8 inches of additional rain will fall over the next full week in portions of interior southern Brazil. So it's going to be kind of a mess. mess. Most of the crops will handle it okay, but the flood will be a problem for personal property.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Have a good day.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, Missouri. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You have a safe day and a safe drive home. I'm Todd Gleason.